All right, so in normal fashion, I'll have the kids come on up. Hello. Good morning. Got a runner here. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started. Can I have anyone take a guess as to exactly what this is?
A map.
A map to what?
Treasure.
A treasure map. You're right. This is kind of a special map. You'll notice that there's a starting point over here, and then we end with something called wisdom and knowledge, and that is our treasure. And so today during the sermon, what I'm going to be talking about is where we start, and then how we get to wisdom and knowledge. And so we'll be looking in Proverbs, and it tells us where to start and how to get there. So, and I think that that is all. So you guys can go ahead and you're dismissed to children's church if you'd like. Huh? I am children's church. Perfect. There you have it. All right. So, I do appreciate the full attendance. This is definitely new for me. This is actually my first time that I've ever preached, so go easy on me. I'll do my best, though. So, today I'd like to open to Proverbs chapter 1, and I'll have you all open there first. We're going to go ahead and read from Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equality, in equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and to figure the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when I approach this, I had struggled with it in my life, knowing that it was an important verse. It was something that I needed to pay attention to, but I guess I hadn't really ever looked at it in length to get anything out of it. And so it was definitely an enjoyable task for me to go through this, and I hope that you guys will benefit from it as much as I did. Just kind of looking at the first section in verse 1 through 6, you'll kind of notice that there are a lot of two statements. And the author of Proverbs, which was Solomon, spent this first six verses kind of telling you why he was writing the Proverbs and what his goal was for the reader, and specifically to his son. And then in verse 7, we find out how to get there. What the key is to kind of unlocking the rest of it. So additionally, if we look through the rest of Solomon, you'll see a lot of proverbs that are teaching his son what to do, what things to look for, what things to search after. And then you'll also notice a lot of times where Solomon warned his son. And he warned him that if he did not follow his instruction, that if he did not search after God, that there would be a lot of bad things that would happen to him. And one example of this was in chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. And it says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them." And so it's very clear, and I'm sure that all of you have probably seen this in friends, family members, so on and so forth, where they have suffered because of their sin. And you see the sin in their lives and how much it just tears them apart. And it is very much the same with us. And sin does hit us very close to home in our own bodies. Just as King David spoke of in Psalms 38, which you don't have to turn there, but I would like to read it. He said, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly." So this is definitely huge to us because we have definitely been there. We've definitely felt that. And even, you know, King David, a man after God's own heart, still felt that. He still felt the pain of sin in his body. And contrasting that, on the other hand, I hope that you've also experienced the richness of favor that is spoken of in Proverbs 1:33, which is the end of what we just read. "But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil." And there's many more verses like this through Proverbs that talk about he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of justice, preserves the way of his godly. And then in 3:16 through 18, he talks about the benefits of wisdom in a Christian's life and searching after wisdom, how beneficial that is to us. And so I've kind of outlined those two things to basically impress upon you the importance of this section, because as we look at our own lives, we can see how much God has blessed us. And then when we sin, when we fall away, we can also see how much it's hurt us and how painful it's been to us. And so my hope is through this is that you will, like Solomon asked for, you will get a wise and discerning heart. And so that is my ultimate goal. And this section is kind of speaking about the start of that, the beginning of that. And so I'm going to step back just a little bit and look first at the author of Proverbs, and then we'll kind of talk about him through the rest of the sermon. So the author of Proverbs was truly a wise man. He was full of knowledge, as many of you know, and he had much discernment. In fact, he was the wisest man that has ever lived or ever will live, just as God promised in 1 Kings 3:12. Yet Solomon did not claim his wisdom as his own. It wasn't something that he thought came from himself. It wasn't something that he got on his own. It was something that he very clearly asked God for. In 1 Kings, he had asked God because God had come to him in a dream and asked him what the desire of his heart was. And his desire, because of his understanding of who he was as a person, he understood that he, like he said, he was a child and he was put over an entire nation. And so his desire was that he would have the knowledge and wisdom to lead his people, which was very wise indeed. And so Solomon asked God for wisdom to lead Israel. And in chapter 3:11 through 12 in 1 Kings, which you don't have to turn there, I'll just go ahead and read it. God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment and understanding, discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart." So out of this wisdom, out of this gift from God, and you also know that God gave him much more than what he had asked for because of his wisdom, but out of this comes Proverbs, and he wrote, I guess, arguably most of the Proverbs, if not all of them. And so let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. And like I had said before, we look at the first six verses are the two statements, what he intended for the reader to learn. And then in verse 7, we have a starting point to obtain that, to obtain the knowledge that we seek after. And so verse 7, if we look at verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in the last half of verse 7, you'll see that there is a lifestyle portrayed, and it's characterized by those who despise wisdom and knowledge. They do not appreciate instruction. They will not take it. And in their end, when it carries out, they are a fool caught up in folly. And so then we'll look in the first part of verse 7. And the second lifestyle, or the first lifestyle that you see in the verse, is a complete opposite from that. It is characterized by those who love wisdom and instruction and eagerly search after knowledge. The first lifestyle starts with the fear of the Lord and is rewarded with knowledge. And that is definitely what our desire is. So I set out to kind of break down a little bit more of the words in here. And so in looking at knowledge, Webster's dictionary defines knowledge as the fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity gained through experience or association. And kind of the question that may come up is, does this mean that I need God so that I can do well in school and so that I can learn lots? And I would say yes and no. And I would say yes, because when you fear God, it is a benefit to you in all areas of your life. The benefits of having wisdom, having knowledge will carry through to all parts of your life. But it's definitely not what Solomon is talking about here. And he's talking about the knowledge of the Lord, which it refreshes the soul. It's not something that necessarily burdens it down like school does. I guess an interesting fact that I learned in studying through here that I hadn't known, which is actually very helpful for Proverbs, is that it being poetry, it is written in a specific way. And this specific verse is written in a certain style. And so just to kind of break that down, you'll notice in the first part what he says is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in the second verse, he's going to break down knowledge, and he's going to put it into two different words, and he's also going to give you the opposite of who that is. So fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in this verse, knowledge is broken down into wisdom and instruction, and fools despise both of those. So I guess it could also be said that fools despise knowledge, wisdom, and instruction in that verse. So sorry, I blazed through my notes without even looking at them. So, and if you have any questions about that, if that was confusing at all, just see me after the service and I'll try to do better. But it's also worth pointing out in Psalms 111:10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so it's said differently in Psalms 111:10, but it does make sense, because wisdom requires knowledge, and knowledge of God often produces wisdom. So there can be instances where you have lots of knowledge of God, but it's not producing any wisdom. So, but it does definitely, if you've got wisdom and you've got knowledge of the Lord and you're following Him, then that's where it will become productive in your life. So the second word that I kind of focused on was fear, and I'm sure a lot of you know kind of what this means in this context, but I would like to go over it just because it was something good to reinforce in my own life. And knowledge is our goal, and fear is a starting point, and that's why it is important. First question that you might come up with from this is, what is fear? And although we are familiar with a certain type of fear in our society, and one that I was kind of struck my mind when I was thinking of this was the prevalence of horror films and how big of an industry that's become. I looked up one number, and they said since 1968, movie watchers have spent nearly $13 billion on horror films. And so it is. It's a very big thing. I'm not sure why. But certainly this is not what Solomon was talking about. And that's very clear in the fact that we as Christians do not need to huddle in a corner fearing God. We don't have to fear his hand of wrath if we're following him and if we're serving him the way he wants us to. So when I looked up the word yireh in Hebrew, which is what they use in the Old Testament, it describes an awe and reverence. And so it's definitely different than the other words that speak more of dread and fear used in that context. So let's go ahead and jump back to 1 Kings 3. If I didn't already turn there, which I don't think we have, just keep your finger there and in Proverbs, because we'll kind of be going back and forth. So in 1 Kings 3, it uses the same root word for the fear, and I thought it was just a good example of this fear used kind of in a different setting. And so in verse 16 through 27 of chapter 3, I'll go ahead and, in 1 Kings, the verse 16 through 27 talks about the two women, and I'm sure you guys have all heard the story, but I'll go over it really quick, where there are two women sleeping with their babies, and unfortunately one of them smothered hers during the night. And so she decided, well, I've got this all figured out, I'll go ahead and swap babies with the lady next to me. And so this was all brought before King Solomon, and this was after God had given him his wisdom. And so his decision was is that the baby should be cut in two and be given to each of the women. And it was not his intention for this actually to happen, and it was his knowledge that led him to understand that if he did that, the real mother would step forward and say, no, don't hurt my baby. You know, if anything, I want my baby to live, and she can go live, or my baby can live with the other woman. But in response to this, as the news of this spread through Israel, it says in 1 Kings 3:28, when all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. So again, they're not, you know, running away from him, screaming. It's something that, you know, they're looking at him going, wow, this is supernatural. This is special. This is not something that, you know, any ordinary king can do. And so then if you follow that along in 1 Kings, you also see that there were people coming actually from all around the world that were coming to see and hear him and hear him speak. And so it's definitely that wisdom and awe the wisdom that he had just drew this awe, and the people came congregating to him. And so that's, you know, in the same way, we want to do this. We want to do that with God. We want to draw near to him. We want to look to him because he is wise. He does do great and miraculous things. So in that end, following that along, Solomon identifies this awe and reverence as being the starting point for knowledge. And again, like I said before, if anyone, we should take his word, because God did give him that knowledge. So the second natural question concerning fear is, how do I cultivate a proper fear of the Lord? And you don't have to turn there, but I would like you to write this verse down just because it's a really good one, and you can read it during the week. But in Deuteronomy 17:18, God gave us an explanation of how we learn to fear him. So in verse 18, now it shall come about when the king sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all of the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, in order that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. Now, if you look at the different kings in the Old Testament, you'll definitely see this work out. You'll see the kings that followed God, that stuck with his commandments, like David and loving God, and then Solomon for a lot of his life was following God and letting him lead him, that there was peace, that there was that the rest that they found in God. And so then, stepping back to this verse, God identifies the way that we can learn fear is that we can learn to fear him is to read his word daily. It's not necessarily something we have to go home and write down the whole Bible. We do have Bibles, which is nice. But it is something that if, you know, we have it, let's read it. You know, it's definitely beneficial. And like he says here, that was in the law. That's what God wanted. And so that in reading his word, we receive his instruction. We learn about his righteousness and wisdom that inspire that awe and reverence that leads us to life. And that life is characterized by wisdom and discernment. And so just kind of giving a real-life application of this, I'm sure that you all have experienced times in your life where something impossible happened for you, something that was perfectly timed or something that it just worked out really well for you. And that was a blessing from the Lord. It was something that you really appreciated. And those moments do lead you to an awe and reverence for him because of his love for us. And in that same way, if you glance through both the Old and New Testament, you'll see God's faithfulness to Israel, his leading them out of Egypt and being there with them. And then stepping into the New Testament, you see Paul is a great example of a man who was headed on his own path and nothing was going to change him. He was intensely persecuting the church, and yet God took him and just turned him completely from the direction that he was headed in. And it's really an excellent example of the things that we can see in the Bible that can lead us to that awe and reverence for him. So Deuteronomy also makes it clear that to fear the Lord is not just something that is the start. It's not something that we do once and then we have knowledge and we're good for the rest of our lives. It's something that needs to be an ongoing task. Again, in reading his word every day, we renew that fear. We renew that desire to serve him in the awe and fear that we have for him. And so then, unfortunately, in looking at Solomon's life, he was as good of an example of following God's word and following his commandments as he was from stepping aside from that. And it is a bit scary that such a wise man would be led astray and would fall away from God's desire for him. And however, we see in 1 Kings chapter 10 and 11 that Solomon blatantly disregards God's law regarding the actions of kings that is presented in Deuteronomy 17, 16 through 17. And in those verses, kings are warned not to multiply to themselves horses, precious metals, and wives. And in the end, we see that it was kind of Solomon's downfall that he loved, the Bible says he loved many women, and in doing so, these women that were coming in from many different countries also brought their gods. And so Solomon fell away from the path that he knew, and he was not serving God wholeheartedly like he should have. So then again in the 1 Kings 11:3, it tells us that Solomon's heart was turned away from God by his many wives and their false gods. And so it's definitely something that then progressed. And if you read about David and then Solomon and then his son, you'll see that because of David, Israel was spared, and actually even King Solomon was spared the consequences for his sin. And eventually, after Solomon, Israel was split into 11 tribes, and then one remained with his son simply because of King David. And so even in that, you see God really, I guess, enforcing his promises that you'll see, and also loving those who serve him. But it was sad to see then all of the enemies that arose during Solomon's reign. Throughout there, it said that there's peace, and all of Israel rejoiced in that peace that they hadn't had for so long. And so then after Solomon's sin, God started to bring back into their nation their enemies, and it started kind of tearing all of them up. And so in the end, I think that it's very important to remember that we serve a mighty God. And if we want to know him, if we want to have knowledge of him, if we want to walk in his commands and have that life of peace and have that life of blessing, that we must follow his commandments. We must follow his desire for our lives. And we can't just be comfortable with mediocrity. We need to give our all. Like it says in Deuteronomy, you know, every day refreshing ourselves in God's word. And in doing that, we will learn to fear God. And through that, we will learn wisdom and knowledge. And we won't waste our lives, like it says in Proverbs. We won't waste our lives being foolish and searching after our own folly. So I would like to go ahead and conclude by reading another verse that I found very beneficial. And so if you turn over to Proverbs 3, 1 through 8, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your body and a refreshment to your bones." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have great wisdom, that you have wisdom beyond anyone else, beyond any other God. We thank you that you have given us your wisdom, that you've given us your instruction and your word in Proverbs. And I pray that we might be encouraged today not to lose sight of you or your commandments, that we may, as Solomon did, seek a wise and discerning heart. I ask that your Holy Spirit would not let us rest in our sin, but instead cause a groaning agitation in our hearts that would drive us to repentance. Lord, we ask that you would be with the Philippines group, that they might be a great encouragement to the pastors and flock, that you would teach your word with strength and boldness. We thank you that you have given us a dedicated church leader, dedicated church leaders that fear you. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.